Amen. Y'all ready for children's church? This is for first through sixth grade, going to Friends Church. And then if you're in Nani's class, which is, that's going to be like 3 to 5-year-olds, okay? So first to sixth grade, you ready to break? Ready, break. First to sixth grade. They weren't ready. Can you, who, yeah. For the, yeah, the seventh, yeah. You need the seventh graders. The seventh graders today, this is going to go with Mr. Bill. They're going to be, they're working on something. All right. We're going to be in the Gospel of John. We're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We're going to be looking at what Jesus used. Really, there's two statements that Jesus makes about himself. I am statements, where he says, this is who I am. And we're going to be considering the first one, but it's going to be hard to avoid the second one. The first one is, he says, I am the door. I don't know how many of y'all just, when you think about Jesus, you think of him as a door, but Jesus identified himself as a door. He also identifies himself in that same chapter as the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, he says. And so we're going to be looking at this passage. And as we do, I want you to think about how you would like to be a sheep. Would you like to be a sheep? I want you to think about that for a moment. Sheep are often used as examples of God's people. God and the Lord himself often use the example of being a shepherd. But I want you to think about our mindset in America. Think about sports teams. How many teams are out there called the mighty, mighty sheep? The great sheep. How often we say, man, I tell you what, go out there and play like a sheep. Fight like a sheep. Man, when you run, you need to run like a sheep. Quick like a sheep. Smart like a sheep. Well, we don't have a lot of respect for sheep. But can I tell you this? There is no higher privilege than to be in the flock of God and to be a sheep that's shepherded by Jesus Christ. There is no greater place. There's no higher privilege. There's no grander lodge than the sheepfold of Jesus Christ. You might say, well, I'm independent and I'm strong and I'm more like a lion or a wolf or a cheetah. Well, that's fine. But can I tell you, I outrank you. Because I'm a sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. And y'all, there is no better place to be than in the fold, to be in the flock, to belong to Jesus Christ. Listen to the Word of God. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief. And a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. So then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill, and to destroy. I've come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you that you call us by name. You call us your own. You provide all that we need for growth and for salvation. And Lord, help us not to be those who are so proud of our own ability, so proud of our own resources, that we would snub our nose at God and think being considered a sheep of Jesus Christ as something that's demeaning or lowly. I ask that you love on us, that you bless us, that you heal us, because those are the jobs of a shepherd among his sheep. Protect us, Lord Jesus. We love you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to talk to you a minute about being a sheep. The background, I'm not a shepherd in the sense of keeping sheep. Sometimes pastors are referred to as shepherds, and part of that job of caring for people is part of my job, but I'm going to tell you what I know about first century shepherddom. It's going to be really short. It was dangerous. There was a lot of dangers for the sheep, which included people trying to steal the sheep, people trying to exploit and eat the sheep, wolves and other critters trying to eat the sheep, and they lived in a crude pen. It was made out of earth and rock and clay and dirt and mud, just about a half a wall. Some of them had covering, some of them didn't. Most of them didn't have anything in front of the gate. There would just be one way in. That's it, just one way. One way in, one way out. And the shepherds, usually all the time, because they would keep watch over their flock by night too. Remember the shepherds in the story of the birth? What were they doing? What time of day was it? It was night, and they were keeping watch over the flock. Because a lot of those animals didn't hunt during the day, so there was no need for a literal door or gate in most of those pens. The shepherd would actually lay in the gate. If you were going to come that way, you had to come by the shepherd, okay? So that was just part of it. There was just those dangers. Dangers of falling sick, of getting a cut, letting it become infected, and no one noticing or taking care of it, or a disease or a sickness getting in among the flock. Those were the dangers. The only good thing that the sheep had going for them was the shepherd. The only good thing that these sheep could depend on. Who's going to get us food? Who's going to get us water? Who's going to lead us on a trail that doesn't end in a cliff? Who's going to beat the wolves back or the bear or the lion when they come to eat us? Who's going to protect us from those who want to exploit us as opposed to protect us? That's the shepherd. That's the shepherd. The shepherd there was for protection. The shepherd was there for guidance. The sheep would hurt themselves if they could. They say that you could walk a sheep into a barrel, and he don't know enough to walk backwards out of the barrel. He'll just get stuck in there and die. I know that doesn't make you want to be a sheep anymore. But, y'all, I'm not even going to say that, but I know some human beings that walk into barrels, and all they got to do is walk back out. And sometimes they won't. So we might be closer related to sheep than we like to believe. But the sheep need the help of the shepherd. The only thing they have going for them is the shepherd. And I want you to see the kindness of the shepherd we're talking about. Jesus Christ is referring to himself here as the shepherd. One, he does things right. It says that the ones who come out, if they don't come in by the door, they're a thief and a robber. They want to exploit the sheep, hurt the sheep, sell them off, shave them down, eat them up. But the one who comes in by the door, that's the shepherd. He's recognized. He's done things the right way. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ, in everything he did right. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Jesus Christ did good. Jesus Christ is the best. I just want to brag on him for a minute. You find somebody else who's like Jesus. When it says he came in through the door, the shepherd comes into the door. It says the doorkeeper opens because he hears the shepherd coming. Let me tell you, God opens up his door. The gates of glory are opened up at the arrival of Jesus Christ. He's done everything right, and there's no one like him. He didn't have to be as good as what he was. I'm telling you, he didn't have to be as good to us. He doesn't have to be as good to me as what he is, but he does, and he comes and he calls out to us. I don't know if you've ever heard the voice of Jesus. I could tell you I have. I haven't heard it with my ears. I'm not telling you that he doesn't speak that way. Some people say they've heard the audible voice of Jesus. Praise God. But can I tell you I've heard his voice speak to me? Can I tell you that I've heard him use my name on the inside of me, in my mind, in my heart, in my soul? I've heard Jesus call me by using my name. He knows me by name. We're not just a number. Aren't you so glad? You know, one of the end times when that comes, and we talk about that, and I shouldn't even chase this rabbit, but I'm not going to, just real short, and it's going to depress some of y'all who are really into prophecy. But what does it say when the Antichrist is running the world system? You're going to have a mark. You're going to have a mark to buy and sell. You're going to be a number. You're going to be a barcode. It's going to be weird, right? That's how the sheep are going to be treated. But what did the shepherd in this story, and the shepherd in Jesus' time, and if you study this, you'll find this out. They often named every sheep in their flock. There wasn't a brand on them. They knew them by name. One man maybe shepherded 100 sheep, but he knew them. And he'd call them by name. And they got so used to, most of these shepherds had to build a flock too. Not like Build-A-Bear where you go to the store and you stuff it with stuffings and sew it up, you know, but it's build a flock. So they're being born, and you would know these sheep from the time they were born. They would be precious to you. You'd call them by name. Oh, that's so much better than we deserve. Y'all know that? We're not just a number. You know, there's going to be myriads and myriads of folks in heaven praising Jesus, but you're not just going to be a number. You're going to be known by the shepherd. He knows you. He knows what you look like. He knows what you like and what you dislike. He knows you by name. It's your name that separates you out from who you are. We have unique names. I have four names. You know, somebody could track me down. I got four names I can use. That makes me unique. We're the only Goldwater Deussen family in the world lives in Grenada, Mississippi, right here and at Christ Community Church. There's other Goldwaters and there's other Deussens, but there's no Goldwater Deussens, and that's my last name. Anywhere in the world, we're it. And he knows that about us. He knows our uniqueness. He knows about who we are. His voice. I pray. I was telling this, I had a chance to preach in a revival this past Tuesday. And as we were going, I said, I pray I grow up to be a preacher who preaches in spirit and power. Not to be a powerful preacher, this is what I'm convinced, that God wants to speak to his people. And he wants to use preachers and he wants to use sermons. And if we would get out of the way and we just let him speak, that people would be hearing the voice of Jesus, their shepherd, through the word of God preached. I hope when you come to Christ Community Church that you are listening for the shepherd who knows your name and loves you and has instructions and has care and has edification, maybe has rebuke sometimes for you as his sheep as it comes through the word of God. I hope you're listening. It says he leads us. It might not seem significant to you, but it is very significant. It says he leads them out. When he brings them out in verse 4, it says he goes before them. There's a couple ways you can get sheep to go where you want them to go. You can drive them. You can prod them from behind. Or you can walk in front of them. And if you're walking in front of them, what happens if you walk too fast? They way back. You got to wait for them. What about the old ones? You got to wait for them. What about the pregnant ones? You wait for them. What about the ones that are injured and recovering? You wait for them. One of the greatest pictures of a shepherd is in Isaiah chapter 40. It's right around verse 11. And it says, he leads them. He carries the ones, the little lambs. The little lammies is how it would be translated. We miss that kind of stuff because of English. But in the Hebrew and in Greek even, there's a little bit of sentimentality. He carries the little ones in his arms. He leads those that are nursing and that are pregnant. And what does that show you? That our pastor, our shepherd, he's gentle. When I say pastor, I'm not talking to me. I'm talking about the Lord. He's gentle. He doesn't just say, you've got to keep up with me. I don't care. We're going to get this far today. And if you fall behind, you're lost. You're going to get eaten by the wolves. He doesn't stand behind and just keep goading. Pop, pop, pop. And say, I don't care what your speed is. You're going to go at my speed. Now, we experience that in this world. We say we live in a dog-eat-dog world. We do. But can I tell you, Jesus isn't like that. He's a kind-hearted leader. Don't get me wrong that he's a leader. He's kind. He's gentle. He goes before the sheep. And the sheep follow him. The best church model ever, that will ever be, is that the people who've been born again follow the leadership of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. That's the best leadership. The best leadership is to cultivate such a place and a mindset in a church that the people of the church aren't waiting to be prodded or headlocked or arm twisted or guilt-tripped. They're leading. They're following the shepherd. They're saying, Jesus tells me to witness. And so in my community, I witness. Jesus says, bring Miss Martha, my neighbor, bring her to church with you. And you do. Hey, Miss Martha, how are you? Jesus says, when there's someone sick, pray for them. Would y'all pray for Ginger Busby? Her husband, right, is over here in the back. But we need to keep praying for her. She's sick and we don't know why. We still don't know why, Dennis, do we? No. You don't have to be told from any human program to witness or to pray. The Spirit tells us to witness and to pray. The Word tells us to witness and to pray. Oh, we want to get to that point where we're following the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the true pastor of Christ Community Church, which is not Big John or anybody else. It's Jesus Christ. We want to follow Him. Oh, what a church. What a church government that will be. What a church that will be. Where we don't have to do corrective things. There's no sin police. No need for somebody to judge somebody based on preference. Of their preference is this or their preference is that. Because the Spirit of God said, don't judge my servants. Before me they stand or fall, and I'm able to make them stand. Don't you belittle anybody in this place. Because sheep don't argue about who's sheep more sheepy. I'm more sheepy than you are. If we want to have a big boy contest, I'm a big dude. But this ain't what it's about. It's about being the sheep of Jesus and letting Him lead. He don't got to go around, you know, the shepherd don't got to correct all these. You know, the sheep want to follow the shepherd. They recognize the value in following him. That's the best kind of government. That's the best kind of church leadership, is when we would come to point, it's our responsibility to follow Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, when he got to the end of this, talking about life as a sheep, it says the people didn't understand him. That's why I'm going to go on from here. I'm not going to explain any of this part more, because it seemed like the people just didn't understand. Verse 6 says they didn't understand. So he goes to tell them something else about him being the door. But it's interesting doing this text, because in our congregation, we understand verses 1 through 5 better than we understand verses 7 through 10. We don't understand what the door, what did Jesus say? He's a door. Well, golly, what does that mean? So we're gonna focus on this. What is a door? Well, how do we use doors? What do? They let us in and they let us out, don't they? They keep things safe. You know, when we leave the church, despite the fact that there's a billion flies in here, let me just encourage you to say, we don't leave the doors open. We don't leave the windows open. There's not a window in this place that opens. We shut the doors. The windows are closed, so people can't get in, right? And when you all are in here, in church here, you know, we lock all the doors so y'all can't get out. I'm just kidding. Look at Keith was like, I knew it. We came to one of them churches. They're about to hand out the snakes and the Kool-Aid. Let's run. No. We don't do that. I promise. Okay? That's not how it works. Jesus said he was the door. And he did this to clarify his point to the people he was speaking to. I'm just afraid that his point's not as clear in our generation, in our time. But I want you to think about Jesus is that door. He literally is the door in the sheepfold. Like I said, those old sheep pens, most of them didn't actually have a gate or a door. Somebody stood in the gate. Somebody had their, I didn't bring my staff, they had their shepherd staff, and they stood in the gate. When the shepherd would bring his flock back to put into the pen, he'd gather them all up. And a lot of times in one pen, you'd have a lot of different flocks. So there'd be different shepherds who were calling out their different sheep. And the sheep knew which voice to follow. And he would look at them as they were going out. Yeah, this is mine. Okay, that one's not mine. Push that aside. This is mine. This is mine. And when they came back in, the shepherd would get them all in there, and literally, he would either stand in the door or he would lay in the doorway, and each sheep came through the shepherd. And the shepherd would investigate. Are you sick? Are you matted? Do you need attention? What's going on? And he would inventory. He would stock. I know that's not a real personal term, but we get that idea. He was the door because he was the one that made sure the sheep were well when they came in, that none were missing. He wouldn't take somebody else's word for it. He was the one to make sure they were all well and that they were all there. That's what he was when he was the door. And he would pat them on the head, get them going, get them in there, taking care of them, looking at them. Jesus being the door is one of the most personal images that we can get about Jesus Christ in all the Word. To us, it sounds so mechanical, so like furniture. Like, is he an overhead door or is he a regular door? What kind of door is he? No, he's the one that stands at the entrance, that brings the sheep in, that looks at them, that loves on them, and makes sure that they're okay. That's what he is. That's what he does. There is no more personal of a, y'all got to know this. When he says, I'm the door, he means I've got my hand on every sheep. I'm going to touch every sheep. I'm going to make sure they're all there. What happens if one's missing? What happens if he has 100 sheep and he counts all the 99, he looks out and one's missing? What does he do? He leaves them there in the pen. Somebody else what? And he goes and he finds the missing sheep. What does that tell us? That tells us that it's of great importance that every one of his sheep come into the flock and are accounted for and are healthy and are safe and are growing. That's how Jesus Christ looks at those who are his own. That's how Jesus Christ looks at you and me. It's so important that he knows where we are, that we're growing, that we're healthy, that we're accounted for, that we're not off somewhere else. Can I tell you, if you haven't been to church in a while, I'm so glad that you're here. What did it say about those shepherds when they went and found the 99? This is in Luke 15. In Luke 15, it says there was one missing. They go out and they find them. What happens then? Do they beat up the sheep? This sheep went astray. This sheep caused me trouble. We're going to get your stick, boys. We are going to whoop this sheep into shape. We're going to knock him out. We're going to stomp him. Matter of fact, we're hungry. We're going to just cut this one and eat him. What does it say in that parable in Luke 15? Do you remember? Do you know? What's the attitude? What's the atmosphere when they find the sheep that was astray? Anybody know? He held them in his arm and they rejoice. I heard it over here. They rejoice that the sheep was found. This wasn't just numbers to them. That sheep had a name. That sheep has a purpose. That sheep is a part of the whole sheepy family. He probably remembers when that sheep was born. He loves that sheep. You know, there's people who aren't in the flock, but Jesus still loves them. He's asked us to work with them and be shepherds to go and say, come on into my family. But y'all, we need to be the kind of family that so rejoices. Not judges, but so rejoices when folks come back to church. So rejoices when Jesus grabs out and says, I found one. I've missed her for a long time and now she's back. We need to be those who rejoice. Not who judge. Okay, let's come to verse 9. Verse 9 is the focus verse. Verse 9 is where I want you to just rejoice with me. I don't know how else to say it. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ brought me in. I'm so glad that I belong to him. I'm so glad that he puts up with me. I'm so glad that I'm not too small a fry for him to care if I fell off his plate. I'm not too small or nasty or dirty a sheep that he's just forgot about me. Listen to this principle. This is the memory verse. If you want to remember something, this is the verse. I am the door. If anyone comes by me, he will be, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. We've talked about that. He's right there in that gate. There's not but one way. There's not but one truth. There's not but one life. And who said all those things about themselves? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father's sheep pen but by me. That's what Jesus Christ said. That's the idea of the door. It connects to all that. It connects over in Matthew chapter 7, where he says, there's a narrow door, there's a narrow gate by which we can enter. How narrow is it? It's about as big as Jesus is. That's it. That's how narrow the gate is. It's enough for him to stand in the way to count in the inventory. Come on, you're mine. You're mine. Come on in. You're mine. I love you. I'm glad that you're here. You're mine. Man, what if church was like that? What if we greeted people like Jesus did? What if we greeted people like your dog does when you see him? You ever, anybody have a dog and you come home and that dog's like, oh, you're home. You're home. I didn't know if you were going to be home, but you're home. I see you're home. Woo, I'm glad you're home. Can I do anything for you? What do you want? You want something? Huh? You want to pet me? You want to pet me? Come on, I'm home. Now, dogs, they're not that bright, but boy, do they know how to welcome somebody into somewhere. And I'm not saying Jesus is just ridiculous dumb like that, but what I'm saying is he is the door, he's the entryway, he's greeting people in. The greeter in heaven, I hope this is the fact, I hope this is what this parable, this story actually means, is that when we die and we go to the other side, that the one bringing us in isn't angels, it's the Son of God who loved us and shepherded us our whole lives. That's who I hope to see. That's who I hope to see, saying, come on, come on, you didn't think you were going to make it, but you made it. Come on in. You know you didn't deserve to make it, but you're here. Come on in. I love you. I'm so glad you're here. Come on in. There's a big sheepfold in heaven. There's a big place for us to be welcomed in. And who's going to be the welcomer? I'm going to tell you, it's going to be Jesus Christ. I hope that's exactly what this parable is saying. But I know there's a way for us to get welcomed into that kingdom today. It says, if anyone enters by him, he will be saved. I want to tell you just a story from the mission trip. We just got back from Detroit. We didn't just get back. We got back Monday and had a great time. Our trip comprised mostly of going up and encouraging a church up there that asked us for help. They asked us to help join with them and help them do some things physically, some painting. We painted like most of their building, not all of it, but most of it. Josh, your mom's not here, so I think I can say that Josh climbed up on the roof and painted their cross and stuff, and he's like hanging off this like doorway deal, like a story up, and I said, don't show your mom. And anyways, she's not here, so we can talk about that now. But, you know, we did some of those things. We encouraged them. It was a black church, and we were a diverse group coming from Mississippi, and we just helped. And I'm going to tell you, it was a witness, because folks don't usually see that kind of stuff, that kind of interaction. And there wasn't any tension. There wasn't any, well, this is how we do it, and this is how we do it, this is how white folks do it, this is how black folks do it. We are Jesus folks, and we just did it together. Boom. It was just like that. It was awesome. It was great. We encouraged them. They encouraged us. Well, one day we went out into a mission field. We prayed around their church. We did different things. About 15 minutes from their church is a place of hopelessness and homelessness. Okay? Hopelessness and homelessness. Because if you're staying out on the streets in Detroit, you're in trouble. I mean, you don't want to be outside. You don't want to be in a place where you don't have friends, where you don't have a community, where you don't have people around you. So if you're staying in this place where we were, you were just in trouble. That's it. You lived moment by moment. You lived in a place of, anyways, it was a place of distress. We went there armed with Bibles and 150 double cheeseburgers from McDonald's. You should see the people at McDonald's when you order 150 of anything. So we ordered 150 double cheeseburgers from McDonald's. And for y'all who gave, praise God, because that's, your money went towards 150 White Castle. 150, that was for me. 150 double cheeseburgers. That was for the folks who hadn't eaten in a while. We went up and we were handing these things out, saying, can we pray for you? And when somebody was open, we wouldn't believe how many people in the neighborhood of the church, they said, no, don't pray for me. Do not pray for me. I had one lady said, no, don't pray for me. And then she goes, well, do you want to just pray in general? And I said, yeah, I'll just pray in general for you. In general, that you will get saved. In general, that Christ will be. Anyways, but that's how I pray. But people said, no, don't pray for me. But when we got down there and we gave these sandwiches, they said, pray for us. You know, in the homeless area, in the hopeless area, they wanted prayer. Number one prayer need was shelter. We need shelter. We need somewhere to be tonight. And the next night, we just need shelter. And so we're going around. That was the group we were praying in. We found this couple who was sitting off. They were across the street. They had been there that whole time. And so a group of us went over there to talk with them. We got to talking with them, and their names were Mike and Brittany. Pray for Mike and Brittany. Mike and Brittany are homeless. They're engaged. Brittany is 6 weeks pregnant, so she's 7 weeks pregnant now. They don't know where they're going to live. They don't know how all this is going to work, okay? We shared the gospel, and we just started talking to them about Jesus. Brittany said she grew up in a church home, that she had given her life to the Lord, and she described her experience. And Mike said, "I haven't done that yet. I haven't done that yet." So he said, "Mike, what's going on? Let's figure this out. You're living homeless. You're in the Cass Corridor in Detroit, Michigan. You need to probably figure some eternal things out, man. You know, you need to figure some stuff out." He said, I'm ready. And we went through and we talked to him, and he was ready. And he prayed. He prayed from his heart about Jesus saving him and forgiving him his sins and being the Lord of his life. And he just gave his life over to the Lord. And it was just a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. And we were rejoicing with him. By that time, our team realized that we were gone for a while, so they came to check on us. So they all came around, and I said, "Mike, will you tell these brothers and tell these folks what God did for you?" He started to cry. His face got all tore up, you know. He was feeling it. When he got his composure back, he said, "God let me in. God let me in." Here's a man who's praying about shelter because he doesn't have anywhere to stay. We found out in his testimony that he had done a lot of stupid things, and his family didn't want anything to do with him anymore. And so they had pushed him out, which that happens. Hey, young folks, don't think you got an unlimited resource with mom and dad or grandma and grandpa. People can only take as much as they could take. And they put him out. Same with Brittany. They got put out. We told them about Jesus Christ, and you know what they heard? They heard, "This guy will let you in." I don't know if that strikes you. I don't know how that feels about you. I don't know if you've ever felt like you were outside of something. I don't know if you ever felt like in this world you didn't belong. But I know I have. And I know when he articulated it that way, boy, did that strike me. Jesus is the one who lets us in. It's not the church. It's not Christian culture. It's not do's and don'ts. It's not rights and wrongs. It's not goods and bads. It's not philosophies. It's Jesus Christ is the one who lets you in. And if he lets you in, you're saved. You're saved. That's it. And not only that, but he walks with you. That's what the rest of this verse says. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and he'll go out and he'll find pasture, which means that Jesus takes on the role of being your Lord and your shepherd. And it doesn't stop at death. 1 Peter chapter 2 says he is the overseer of our souls. He's the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. Oh my goodness, this homeless man who didn't have a tithe to give, who didn't have anything to contribute, was let in by Jesus Christ through faith, and that's the same for you and me. But can I tell you, if you are holding on to any kind of hope of getting into the kingdom of God, outside of walking through the door, who is Jesus Christ, can I tell you, you got a false hope. If you got any inkling that you're on a good or bad system, if you think, I said this, I'm about to shock everybody. I hope y'all forgive me. Forgive me. But there ain't going to be no white Southern people in heaven. There ain't. There ain't going to be no black Southern folks in heaven. There ain't going to be no Northerners, period, in heaven. There ain't going to be no Chinese. There ain't going to be no Africans, no Europeans. Mm-mm. There'll be people from those places there. But if you haven't been born again and have become of the family of God and you're still adjusting and trusting and being white or Southern or good or bad, you ain't going to make it probably anyway. You've got to have an experience with Christ. We got to let all this other junk go. Who cares where you're from? Where are you going? If you're going to heaven, it means you've been born again. It's not because you've been so victimized or so triumphant that you're going to get let in. There ain't going to be no Jews there if they don't give their life to Christ neither. Christ is the door. Christ is the way. the truth, and the life. And if you're not willing to trade whatever you got and wherever you're from to be have the opportunity to be a sheep of Jesus, I don't got a hope for you. I just don't have a hope for you. You might say, well, it's kindly and it's good and we got our heritage. That's fine. But if the deepest thing in your soul is your heritage, that's exactly what you'll have when you die. And it's exactly what you'll reap because that's what you've sown. But if you've been born again and made a new creation, then you truly will be a sheep of Jesus Christ. Being from Detroit gives you no heaven points. I might even be part Jewish. I'm looking at my dad, who isn't Jewish at all. But I think my mom is. But I ain't got no hope in that. I got no hope in good works. I've preached in this church for 10 years, and I preached for at least 4 years before I came here. I got no hope in that. I read my Bible. I ain't got no hope in that. I give my money. So what? If the deepest thing in me is not the fact that I'm a sheep of Jesus Christ, I got no hope. I want to end on this. Two things. Verse 10 compares the wickedness of the thieves and the robbers. And I just take those as being people who can tell you the non-truth. The non-truth is this. Religion will get you there. Ethnicity will get you there. Good works will get you there. That's thieves and that's robbers. They're going to exploit you and they're not going to lead you anywhere good. The gospel is the straight truth by which we gain life. The promise of the gospel, especially in this gospel of John, is eternal life. Eternal life. And this is what he says. He says the thief, the ones who tell you to work for it, or that it's going to come by your heritage somehow, some way, or you're going to just luck into it somehow, some way, the thief doesn't come but to steal and to kill and destroy. But the gospel, what Jesus comes, what Jesus offers, he says, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You may say, John, that's a hard word. You're telling us we got to turn our back on everything you know, everything we know, everything we got. I don't care. I stopped caring. I don't care. You're going to heaven. Do you want to be a Jesus person or do you want to be your own man? Choose. That's the choice. The thief will come and tell you you can hold on to both. The thief will come and tell you you need to be comfortable. You need to be placated. You need to be pampered. And you need to be treated with kid gloves. But Jesus says, I got life, but you got to enter by me. And that's unconditional. That's never going to change. That's the way it is. That's the life I want. That's the life of a sheep. And I want to end with, I told you I was going to end. I told you two things. That was one. Here's two. It's just in verse 16. I know we didn't get this far, but I found a good chant. If us Christians were going to start chanting, you know how you go to protest and they always chant something. They're chanting. We got a chant right here. In the original language, it says, one flock, one shepherd. One flock, one shepherd. There'll be one flock and there'll be one shepherd. And Jesus Christ is going to go. Every sheep that comes into that pen is only coming by the blood of Jesus Christ. Only coming by his hand, his watchful eye. He's in for inventorying them. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Not many flocks. Although there are many little local sheep pens like ours right here. But there's about one flock and one shepherd. And y'all, we need to start following them. We need to follow him. We need to give our life to him. If there's any doubt in your mind, if you are holding on in the pit of your soul, which I got no business to be in the pit of your soul. So I'm standing on the edge of the pit of your soul while the Holy Spirit, I pray, is talking to each and every one of us saying, do I really belong to Jesus? Am I one of his sheep? Or am I doing something I've been taught since the time I was a child and just carrying on some tradition that to me isn't gonna do nothing? But I'm just carrying it on. Or in the pit of your soul, are you really a sheep? Do you really belong to Jesus? Are you willing to sell everything you have that you might gain a treasure that you could never buy with anything you possess? You got to give it all up. Have you found the pearl of great price in Jesus Christ? Is the greatest joy you know being his sheep? Not pretending to be his sheep, but being his. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for what you're going to do. I turn everything over to you. And Father, I pray right now that if there's somebody here who's struggled, if they're not sure that they belong to Jesus, if they're not ready for this day to be their last day, if they're not ready to meet you when you come in the air, if they're afraid of what it's going to be like to stand before the judge, would you, Father, tell them and show them if they really belong to you or if they're posers, if they're fakers, if they're waiting for some other thing to make a way for them? We're wearing a toga up in heaven and ain't no Bible belts around it. Help us, Lord, to say you and you only, a personal relationship with you and you only is the way. Father, bring that out. Just keep your eyes closed for a moment. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're struggling with whether or not you belong to Jesus Christ, would you raise your hand up that I might pray for you? Amen. Can I tell you, if you're struggling with that, put a flag in the ground today. Make today the day you say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. And I want to be yours for forevermore. He's not going to be mad at you if you've done that before. I'm telling you, if there's an uneasiness, we prayed the Holy Spirit would show you something. Maybe that's the something he's showing you. Don't you turn your back. Don't you go another way. You just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I want to be yours. I want to be used of you. I'd rather be known as Jesus' people than any other distinction, than any other label, than any other thing. Help us, Lord. If you're here today and you're one of his sheep, have you made it hard on him to be your shepherd? If you're one of his sheep, are you the one that keeps running off that he might have to catch you and bring you back? If you're one of his sheep and you're acting like you want a bigger deal, a better place in the pen, something else going on, and you've made it hard on the loving, gentle, beloved shepherd who has bled and died for us, would you repent today? You might know him. Christians need to repent too. Would you repent? I look at my own self and I think, why do I make it so hard on the shepherd that loves me? Why don't I embrace the fact that I'm a sheep and that ultimately my place is in heaven? It's not here anyways. Why do I get so angry? If that's you, if you can relate to that, if you can relate to this pastor me as saying sometimes I'm a difficult sheep and you want to stop it, you want to follow his voice? You want to walk with him? Would you raise your hand up and say, I just need to, that's what I need to do. I need to walk with him. Man, I want to glorify my shepherd. Amen. Amen. Father God, oh, you know what to do with us. We're yours. We're your sheep. Help us not to have any other loyalty. Not even a second or a third or a fourth. Help us to be wrapped up in you. A church that's wrapped up in you, living on mission, following the Spirit, fully functioning in Christ, exhibiting all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but not bragging. Father, exhibiting all the fruit of the Holy Spirit because you're so near us and we're bearing out love and peace and joy. Father, make us that people. And we love you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for letting us in. Thank you for letting Mike and Brittany in. Thank you for being so kind and caring. Oh, we love you. Help us to be that church that reflects Jesus Christ and continues to say we are the church where everyone is welcome. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all, listen. God has some great things for Christ Community Church, the least of which is the building out there, but it doesn't mean it's not important. Be praying for the building. Be giving towards the building. And be praying that when we get in that building, that it won't be just a new building, but it'd be a church on fire with a new life like we're born again. All right? Does that make sense? Hey, pretty girl. Oh, my goodness. The ushers will come forward for the morning offering. And as they're coming, I'm going to pray. Thank you, Father, for how you love us. Thank you for this opportunity to give. You've given to us, and then you bless us to where we can give out of the abundance. Father, I know in this crowd, not many people are giving out of what they have left. I don't think anybody would be putting the last two mites into this tray. You've given us an abundance from which to give. Would you make us cheerful givers? Those who give and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for all we've been given. We can barely give this token back, but it's what we can do, and we're just so happy to give. Would you make us a church of cheerful givers? Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.